Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Oh, man, isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? Isn't it great to be a Christian, serving God, everything going on in the world today, and we don't care. We cast all our care upon Him because He absolutely cares for us. Hey, it's a big deal here today. Sandy's here. She's been my wife and roommate and best friend. And really, the echoing voice of the Holy Spirit in my life for the last almost 37 years. It's great to be here with her and you. This is family. I want to welcome everybody here that are guests. Two special guests that are here, Mike and June Holt are here from Warrenton, Missouri. I went to high school with Mike. You guys want to stand and say hi? They just came down for the weekend, just said, hey, our kids are all scattered everywhere. We just thought we'd go to Guts Church for Easter, and they drove down here from outside of St. Louis. So welcome, and just a dear friend, a brother. I tell you, the cross took care of your past. That's what you need to know about the cross. There's a lot of science that goes into the cross. There's a lot of prophecy that goes into the cross. But what you need to know is that the cross took care of our past. Okay? And it's that simple. So now the shame or the guilt or the regret or the misgivings or the weight that you might be carrying today because of your past, the cross took care of it. All right? Listen. This can't just be informational for you, okay? This is transformational. This is something that it's not by the enticing words of men's wisdom that we try to speak. It's by the demonstration of the Spirit. So the cross took care of our past. The resurrection takes care of everything else. I mean, everything else. And you'll say, well, what does that mean? And it here's what it means. Everything pertaining life and godliness, that's what it means. Everything. You'll say, wait a second, my health? Yes. My head cold? Yes. My cancerous tumor? Absolutely. My debt? Yes. See, because the bottom line is, all of that stuff leads to death. And the Bible says that death is swallowed up in victory. And you know, it's interesting because What the devil, the enemy of our soul, Lucifer, what his aim is to deceive us into thinking that it's not pertinent for us. Deceive us into thinking that it's not something we can ascertain or we can get or we can even understand. And the Bible's so simple. The Bible says, simple enough for the smallest child to understand. John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. Not that he loved the world, that he so loved the world. And you know what that is? That's actually God so loved the cosmos or the social society. He so loved us even in a relational level. The social society that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him, simply believe, would never perish but have everlasting life. See, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been and who you've been with, man, the bottom line is your past is taken care of. And there's absolution to it. The atonement of that cross doesn't just forgive our sin, it remits our sin. And the original word for that word remit is where we get the word annulled. So what the cross did is it annulled our sin like it never happened. I'm telling you right now, with Jesus as Lord of your life, you've got no record of sin in heaven. When God sees you, when God looks at you, he sees you hidden in Christ. See, the idea of this, it's so much greater than anything we can comprehend or we can get on a natural level. Man, I remember when Jesus made himself real to me, it was almost sickening because I thought, oh, you're kidding me, this Jesus stuff's real. Because I was going so hard and so far in the opposite direction that there's no way that it could be true. But then he made himself real and alive to me. And you know what my first thought was after I thought that it's real? The first thought I had was, what the heck do I do now? Because somehow I had this understanding that everything in my life had to go through that cross. My friends, my acquaintances, my enemies, my family, my habits, my vices, everything had to go through that cross. And somehow I knew that none of that stuff could transition through that cross. So if I were going to go through that cross, I had to lay it all down, strip myself of all of it, and go through it. And it took me a few months. And then finally, I said, that's it. And really honestly, for the first time in my life, I truly drove a stake in the ground and said, God, I'm going to give you my life. I have no idea how to do it, but I'm doing it. And I'm doing it as quickly as I can. That was at 5 o'clock on a Sunday morning. At 10 o'clock, I was at church because it's the only place I knew to get it done. And at 11:10, I answered an altar call and made Jesus the Lord of my life. I was hungover. I felt terrible. And the pastor stopped in the middle of the altar call, and he looked at me, and he pointed, and he got real stern, offensively stern. And he said, you're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Somehow, that connected in my heart. It seeded in my heart. I still see myself today as a new creation in Christ. Everything that went through that cross is gone. There's no heavenly record of it. Yeah, it's in my memory. There's moments in my memory, but guess what? For the last 41 years, God's given me incredible moments with him that far outshine and far outweigh and are much more incredible than any memory I had before that. See, what we have to understand, the combination of the cross and that empty tomb, the resurrection, the world is aching for what we have. Do you understand that? No, they may not know how to verbalize it. It may not come out like that, but I'm telling you, the world is aching for what we have. The world is awaiting the sons and daughters of God to be who God's called them to be. See, I believe this with all my heart. We're much richer than we know in every aspect of life. Much richer than we know. In John 20 and verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for the fear of the Jews. Listen, this is after the crucifixion. They went and hid. And Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. And he said to them, peace be with you. Now listen, in verse 20, it says, and after he said this, he showed them his hands. And he showed them his side. And the disciples were glad when they saw it was him. They didn't believe it initially. It was, listen, too good to be true. I mean, they went from thinking, man, Jesus is going to take over Rome, to Wait, they just, we watched him die. I mean, you think about Peter. Peter's like, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. I watched him die. And now he's standing here with us? And Jesus said, here, look. Thomas asked to touch it, and Jesus let him. And Jesus then said again, the first thing he said was, look, peace be with you. And they were freaking out. They were already full of fear because of everything that they were anticipating and assuming from outside that room. But Jesus again said, peace be with you, peace to you. And then he said this, as the Father has sent me, I send you. You know what he's doing? He's saying, let's get back on mission. Let's get back on purpose. I'll tell you, years ago, and you guys that have come to church, you've heard me say this, I languished because there was a study that between 8 and 9 out of 10 people that go to church regularly and call themselves Christians in America have no idea what their purpose is. And here's Jesus with the disciples that were huddling up for fear of the Jews. And here they are, and Jesus said, look, you guys have to settle down. Peace be with you. Remember, he said, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. It's not determined by any of the circumstances or any of the situation. So now it's like, okay, this peace comes back in their lives. Oh my gosh, he's back with us. But then he didn't stop there. He said, look, as God has sent me, I send you. Let's get back on purpose. But then in verse 22, the Bible says he breathed on them and he said this, receive the Holy Spirit. You know, we all think on the day of Pentecost in the upper room when the Holy Spirit lit on them as cloven tongues of fire and they all began to pray in unknown tongues, that that's where the church started. And I think it might be different than that. I think in John 20, when Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, the church actually was birthed. Why? Because he said, as God has sent me, I send you. See, what we all have to realize is there is so much purpose that why did Jesus go to the cross? Because now the curse on our life is nailed to that cross. He became sin for us. So what died on that cross? Your sin died on that cross. And you'll say, well, but that's not what I think. No, let me tell you, we can't live by how we see things or how things look or how they appear, how we feel. Man, God's word's the truth. Every bit of contrary evidence or any factual evidence that's contrary to God's truth, man, facts change. The truth never does. See, then the disciples, remember what it said. Man, once he showed him his hands and he proved that he was alive, that he rose from the dead. You know, there's 17 times in the Gospels that it's recorded that Jesus said he'd come back to life. He'd give his life, but he'd come back to life. 17 times. But you know what? When the disciples saw it, the Bible said they were glad then when they saw it was him. This isn't Christian hype. And I think a lot of times there's so much hype in the world. Man, there's hype here because, man, we love God so much. There's so much energy. Man, it lifts people. Man, the room's lifted when the word's rightly divided and people begin to receive the word with gladness. See, all of this leads to me to Romans 5. In Romans 5 and verse 6, it says, for when we were still without strength, in due time, listen, Christ died for the ungodly. When we still were without strength, we didn't have any spiritual strength at all. We were weak people, ungodly people. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now listen, I know there's people that say, well, we're all sinners. And there's this false humility that comes with that. That it's like, well, you know, we're all sinners. Oh, sure, we've all sinned falling short of the glory of God. But once we identify with Jesus, we don't identify with sin anymore. Once we give Jesus the lordship of our lives, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man, he knew what you were going to go through. He knew the things that were going to happen in your life. He knew how disappointed that we would feel like we make him and we make God. But you know what? None of that factored in. Why? Because there was a plan. There was a purpose. And I'm telling you today, there's a plan and there's a purpose for your life. Man, some of you guys that are guests in here, you maybe haven't been here before. This is 61 days of constant church that we've had. None of this is new to us. And you know what? We kicked it off by saying, we call revival. And you know, we serve a God who calls those things which be not as though they were. He gives life to the dead. You're sitting around bona fide, miraculous a setting of people in here that are in a flow of blessing right now, that there's so much momentum and there's so much that eye hasn't seen nor ear heard nor has entered into the heart of man, the great things that God has for us just for walking uprightly. You know, that Christ died for the ungodly when we were still sinners. For the ungodly. I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. You know, if you read through verse 10 in that chapter of Romans, you'd see a description of who we were without this resurrection. And this is the hope, the strength that I want you to leave here with today. Without the resurrection, we're without strength. We're ungodly. We're sinners. We're enemies. I mean, without the resurrection, without us experiencing, see, that's why the Bible says to know him and the power of his resurrection. Man, if we don't, then we have no strength. We're ungodly. We're sinners. We're enemies. And God, in verse 8, it says, God demonstrates his love toward us. And that's what he does. I believe the way God does anything is the way God does everything. If God has ever forgiven anybody, God's bound by his word, because he's no respecter of persons, he has to forgive you. We know that God is, and he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him, is what the Bible says. And you know, there's a presence of God here right now. And you know, all he does is forgive, set free, heal, provide, protect, bring an overarching peace about our lives. Think about this. These guys are huddled in that room, locked up, scared of the Jews. Jesus' first words to him was, whoa, 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 peace to you. Why are you guys worried? Why are you guys in fear? Man, so much of the world now, and I'll tell you, the media's job now is to continually build this altar of fear that they're expecting us to bow to. And you know what? We're not bowing to fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But it's, you know, it's not just the antics of the media. It's the prince and the power of the air. It's rulers of darkness in heavenly places. That's why Jesus is a name above all names. That's why no matter what you've gone through, I'm telling you this, the two points I want you to leave with. Number one, the cross took care of all your past. No more shame, no more guilt, no more unforgiveness, no more bitterness, no more anxiety. History won't repeat itself. And number two, that empty tomb, the resurrection, takes care of everything else. Everything pertaining life and godliness. I'm telling you, God's hands in your life. He loves you so much. He knows your name. He has a plan for you. His thoughts for you are good, not evil, to give you a future and a hope. The Bible says God's constantly mindful of us. He's thinking of you right now. See, the enemy's going to try to make you think, your false humility is going to try to make you think that, no, what I'm dealing with is so petty, it's nothing compared to whatever anybody else. And I'm telling you, it's absolutely the farthest thing from the truth. Matter of fact, the Bible says that you're the apple of his eye. Man, I think about it, for God so loved me and having a relationship and a covenant with me that he gave his only begotten son. I think about my kids, Taylor and Brooklyn and Kennedy. Man, when they brought their report card home, when they competed in an athletic event, when they were a part of something at school or at church, man, I was coming out of my shoes celebrating them. Man, I remember the first home run Taylor hit. I didn't sit on my hands. No, you know what? I'm running out of the dugout, shaking my fist, screaming like a wild man. I remember the first time Brooklyn ran the 400 in a track meet in Broken Arrow. I'm on the infield running along with her, just screaming my head off, you can do it. Go catch her and go catch her and go catch her. These other poor girls are running, looking at me thinking, who is this wild man? I remember when Kennedy was in a cross-country track meet at Holland Hall. Remember that, Sandy? They get up the line. There's 200 girls that are getting ready to run. And they had about a 100-yard field that they ran to before they got onto the cross-country track. Kennedy goes, man, I don't even know what to do. I said, Kennedy, I'm going to be standing right over there. You run as hard as you can. You beat everybody to that track. I'm telling you, she took off and sprinted, and she was fast. She took off and sprinted. She got to that opening, and I'm telling you, I'm screaming. I'm yelling my head off. Man, other dads were looking at me, and they start yelling for their kids because it got competitive with us. But do you understand? That's how much God loves you. All God wants you to do is win. That's all he wants you to do. No matter what, that everything you put your hand to prospers, that no weapon formed against you ever will, that you are absolutely the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Why? Because you're the product of that resurrection, because you know God and the power of his resurrection. God, we love you and we praise you. Thank you for who you are and what you're about. God, I thank you for this incredible group of people, everybody watching online. God, that your hand's on every life. God, as we celebrate this Easter, God, we thank you today for the power of your resurrection that comes into our lives, that comes into our homes, every relationship that we have. God, that we absolutely put you first. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.